Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Story Studio. Oh yeah, here we go. Check it out now.
Welcome to the Story Studio, a podcast where an independent publishing company explores the world of self-publishing, independent art, and the future of storytelling. I'm hosting today, and I've already fluffed up what I'm saying, but I am Daniel Wilcox, and today I'm joined by...
Luke Condor with a K.
And special guest...
Matthew McLean with two T's.
Fantastic. Welcome, Matthew. How are you?
I don't literally have two teas, like drinking two teas.
I've got one coffee, man. You're hugging all the
drinks. Yeah. I have a coffee and a squash.
I'm all out of beverages at the moment, but the bathroom's not too far away, so it's a long headphone cable.
Just trail it around the house. You could just go wandering anywhere. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about podcasting, the magical world of podcasting, and everything that is audio drama fiction. And I think just a general overview of everything that Matthew has learned in these. How many years have you been around podcasting, Matthew?
I started doing it in 2011. So, it's getting on now. I'm not one of the OG guys from back in 2005, but been doing it a few years now.
Fantastic. Cool. And how's the writing going at the minute, Luke?
It's all good. So we're first drafting book two in the Rot series, like 10,000 words into it. I didn't realise, but I'm okay now, but I've been hitting it pretty hard. I fell asleep at work today. So there's only me and one other guy who works there. And don't tell my boss this, but he left at 4:30 today, so I had an hour to myself. And I just fell asleep for half an hour.
Nice.
I woke up half an hour later. It was like, wow, I'm glad no one came or no one called or anything. That could have been pretty bad.
But it's nice to recharge.
Yeah.
You're not a bus driver or that, are you?
I'm a school bus driver. Yeah, that's what I do.
Lucky it was a straight road.
It was just after he dropped everyone off. He was fine.
What about you, Dan? What have you been up to?
I have been editing lots and lots and lots to the point where I've had today off because I didn't sleep at all last night because I drove myself insane and then had today off work because I had a migraine. Hitting it pretty hard as well. But I have gotten, I think I'm up to 50,000 words into Lazarus, and I think it's in a lot better shape than it was. I'm very, very happy with how it's going. And like we keep saying, it's a very different story to They Rot, where They Rot is very, very sort of straight-laced post-apocalyptic thriller. Lazarus is a lot more of a mystery thriller that I think needs to have the right balance of description, of mystery, of knowing what's going on. And it just seems to be kind of flowing a lot better. We've not introduced a new character, but added a new character to some of the core parts of the story, and it seems to be working really well. So hopefully should have that done very, very soon, and then that might be ready to go to print in a couple of months.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Yeah, it's just a much bigger book, much bigger story, more of a metaphysical sort of element to it as well, so it takes a bit more fortune.
It keeps growing as well. Yeah. Where They Rot was 56,000 words, I think this at the minute is settled around 85,000.
Yeah, so it's a full novel, this one, yeah.
Yeah, I forget how much bigger that feels when you're doing it.
Yeah. What about you, Matt? What have you been working on anything recently? What are you doing?
My ongoing audio drama is called A Scottish Podcast. So I release one of those episodes every 3 weeks. So it's an ongoing. It's not like, you know, I've written the whole thing. I don't even really know where it's going half the time. So I try and just keep working on scripts for that on an ongoing basis. I take a lot of walks. That's where I figure stuff out. Yeah. And by the time I sit down to write it, I pretty much know like what I'm wanting to get out the next two or three scenes. So that's pretty much all of the fictional writing that I do at the moment.
Cool. Sounds awesome. So I want to ask you some more questions about that. But before we do that, Dan, what do we need to do first?
We need to do the big whoops.
Yay. Okay, so... Is anything? Have you done anything, Dan? Have you seen anything? Read anything? What have you been doing?
So I've got a couple of small things. So I'll try and plow through them as quickly as possible. So the first one is we have completed our first week launch of They Rot, which I think went fantastically well for us, and at one point saw us going into number 9 of the post-apocalyptic hot new releases, number 10 of the dystopian hot new releases, which was very, very exciting. Were you fairly happy with that so far, Luke?
Yeah, it's gone as... I mean, we'll probably do a full episode of this, like a little dissection of it. But it's gone like as expected. Like it's as good as I expected it to be. It's almost like it's all part of the plan. Yeah. I know, like it will ramp up on book 2 and book 3, and it's gone exactly how I wanted it to.
It feels intentional, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, very happy with that. And then the other two things were, sorry if I'm stealing anyone else's, by the way, but the Iron Fist trailer and the Stranger Things 2 trailer have been released.
Yeah, for the Super Bowl spots, right? Yeah.
Very exciting. Very brief trailer, but obviously Stranger Things is a fantastic show, and it's very exciting to see that they've got their stuff together and it's announced for a Halloween release.
Yeah, and... We're big Netflix fans in general. Are you excited for Iron Fist?
Oh, very, yeah. I think the trailer made it feel a lot like Batman.
Yeah. Also, I think some people have drawn comparisons to Green Arrow as well. It's very similar.
See, I've not seen that.
I've not seen it either, but apparently it's very similar.
Yeah. Are you a fan of any of these, Matt?
I can't say I've seen any of them. I don't watch a massive amount of TV.
Anything with visuals you don't do, right?
I sometimes say that, yeah. But the last sort of boxed set series, even though we didn't tangibly have a box for it, I think it was on Amazon, was The Man in the High Castle.
Oh, yeah.
Me and my wife watched that, and I really, really enjoyed that. At the moment, we're watching Wayward Pines, and I'm also reading it, so it's I'm really confusing myself because trying to figure out, did that happen in the book or the TV series? And I don't know what she knows yet because it's all confusing, so I can't even talk about it watching it. So.
Well, I think
is it as good as I've heard it is? Because I've heard it's very, very, very good.
Brilliant, yeah. A lot of big reveals in it, which I deliberately went out my way to, you know, not read anything about it. So nothing was spoiled for me in it. I thought it worked really well.
Yeah, I think that's the danger of modern day TV binging, isn't it? It's just so many spoilers released online for absolutely everything.
I mean, when like the Game of Thrones comes out, it's just a total nightmare because if you don't watch it there and then, it's like people feel compelled to live tweet it, and you're like, what are you doing? Put your phone away and just watch it.
Yeah, and they'll put the big massive release at the top and then at the bottom say, oh, by the way, this is a spoiler, and you just think, you've got that the wrong way around.
Thanks for that.
I'm a big fan of Blake Crouch's writing in general. I've been reading, or I finished reading Dark Matter, and he's just got a very vivid but like sparse way of writing. It's really lovely and really it's quite inspiring, to be honest. It's really good.
Yeah, funnily enough, that was the book that I read that got me into the, you know, basically what I do is I find a writer and, you know, I like one of their works, and then I just consume everything they've done. Like the last guy I did that with was Robert McCammon.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's got some fantastic books. But Dark Matter, I started with that, went to Wayward Pines. I'm now also reading his new one, Abandon, which has been really good as well. So I totally agree. He's a fantastic writer.
So how far in Dark Matter did you get, if you don't mind me asking?
I finished it, yeah. It was the first of his that I read.
Yeah, it's the first one I've read too, and it's I just kind of got lost in it. Very, very. You know, the bit where I was like, okay, this is pretty good, is the bit where they go into the box, and it becomes a corridor, and you suddenly realize that there's all these sort of worlds that they can go to. It's like, oh wow, this is a bit much bigger story than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's really superb because when you get involved in making stories, there are certain tales and books and films and stuff like that that kind of telegraph stuff. And I thought I had it sussed very early, and I was totally wrong. So I'm always happy with that. Nobody likes a know-all, especially when it's yourself.
Did you think, I assumed that the main character would have been from a different place. I was wrong. I was completely. Did you think a similar thing?
I came up with loads of theories, I think because I'd managed to see one small spoiler as well, but it turned out not to be a big thing. Yeah. So,
cool.
Yeah, but it's well worth reading. It's a great book.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so I think my big whoop is actually one that just got sent to me actually like 2 hours ago, and it's the most perfect idea. So it's a Kickstarter project at the minute. It's for Not Forgotten, a public domain superhero anthology. So there's like hundreds and hundreds of superheroes out there which are public domain. They've just been used and sort of forgotten about, and no one owns these superheroes, and they're all kind of weird and odd. They never really took off on their own. So these Micah Myers is the guy. Oh no, I beg your pardon. So it's Matthew Harding and Einar Masson who have put it together, and they're asking for a lot, $25,000, but it's an anthology of weird stories told with these public domain superheroes. And I'm pretty sure everyone who's got any interest in making comic books or kickstarting them or anything are kicking themselves, because this is such a good idea to use all of those superheroes in this way.
It sounds genius. There must be no limit to what you can kind of bring. Do you know any examples of some of the characters?
So let me just. So you might like half remember these characters, because they would have been like reskinned versions of you know, famous superheroes that we know and love today. So there's the Scarlet Avenger, Airmail, as in like a flying man, Atomic Tot, the Black Knight. Tarina of the Tundra. So there's all these kind of wacky.
Wasn't the Black Knight from the Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Well, there is actually a Black Knight in the Marvel lore as well, but I guess this must be a slightly different one. I don't know. But it's such a good idea. I think I'm going to back it, but they've got a long way to go. They've got $2,000. They've got to get $25,000, which is massive.
Bloody hell, yeah. How long have they got?
29 days to go. So they've got the full month left.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Cool. Okay. So podcasting. I've told many people this many times. I absolutely love podcasts. Like I listen to at least two or three a day. mostly nonfiction. But then recently, this past year, we've sort of gotten to like fiction and audio drama and stuff like that. Matt, can you just like dip into sort of how you first got into podcasts, the first one you might have heard, the first one that made you think, this could be something I'd like to do?
Yeah, it was back, like, my previous career, I was a golf course greenkeeper for about nice. 10 years, I guess, maybe more, probably more. And back in the day, I was down working in London at the time, I was listening to a lot of radio. And I just, even though radio isn't very good, you know, most radio isn't very good nowadays, some of the stuff I was listening to I really enjoyed, and I just got kind of captivated by audio, I guess. So when I moved back up to Scotland, I ended up going to college to study radio, and I was still working on the golf course in the summer. So I started downloading podcasts. It was back in the day where you downloaded them on your computer and put them on your iPod. You know, it was a bit of a pain to do. But queue up a playlist late at night, so I had like 8 hours worth of content to listen to the next day. So going out there and just trying to find as much stuff as I could. And it was a friend of mine who runs a film podcast back in the day. He was talking about this zombie podcast, which I thought sounded brilliant. It was We're Alive, which I don't know if you've heard of. One of the, you know, the top audio dramas ever, top modern audio dramas.
Huge following.
So at that time, they had a lot of episodes. So I started tentatively downloading lots of these episodes, putting them on my iPod. And I wouldn't say that I was instantly hooked, but by the end of the first episode, I'm like, that was, you know, that was quite entertaining. And then I just kept listening and listening. And before I knew it, I was like addicted. And I found another show called Edict Zero FIS, which is just a fantastic show for me. Even now, those two shows are, you know, the twin towers, if you like, you know, the holy grail of audio drama for me. And Edict Zero, the soundscape and the depth and everything just drew me in. And with me at that time, learning to record and edit audio at a very basic level, said to my friend at college, we need to have a go at this. Because I thought, how hard can it be? We know how to record voices. We could multi-track. So all we need is some sound effects. And of course, the beginning of a very steep learning curve, we came up with a post-apocalyptic story set here in Fife in Scotland, where we're from, called Aftermath. And began to write a script and source actors online. So we were casting people on sort of voice acting websites and getting them to send their lines to us. And it was a very steep learning curve. And looking back, you know, I wouldn't like to listen to some of those early episodes now, because they'll be very, very rough. We didn't know a thing about, you know, volume levels and EQ or anything like that. And some of the sound effects and things that we used were probably a bit naff as well. But it was what it was. And you've got to start somewhere. And, you know, further down the line, we decided to create a podcast. This was summer of 2014. We'd been making a lot of audio drama, listening to a lot of audio drama. And we thought, why don't we actually, like, make a podcast about doing this stuff? Because one didn't exist, basically. You've got two great podcasts in the audio drama world. You've got one called Radio Drama Revival, and you've got one called The Sonic Society. Both showcase and feature audio dramas on a weekly or fortnightly basis. One of them is 10 years old. The other one's got 500 episodes under their belt. So these are stalwarts in the podcast in the world. And now and then they would do interviews, and they would kind of touch on the writing and production and the sort of creative side of stuff. So we felt like, well, what if we start a podcast and we talk about all the mistakes that we've made, and we try and get interviews with people who know a lot more than we do, and we could pick their brains about it. So we started doing that podcast every single week. And again, it was a learning curve going into spoken word podcasting. In many cases, it's easier. But also, you know, there are parts of it that are more difficult. The fact that you're... you know, you're not technically live, but you don't want to give yourself a massive editing job. So you've got to become quite fluid even, which I'm not yet, but I'm getting there. And we did that podcast very recently. We hit our 100th episode. And
congratulations. You
know, a big community sort of grew around the show. But I think it was because we had a Facebook group as well, which just right place at the right time. A lot of very, very knowledgeable people got in there, and it became a really valuable place to be if you were interested in making audio drama. And very recently there, just last month, we decided to step down as hosts of the show, just to concentrate on other commitments that we had, and we had sort of scheduling conflicts. So two brilliant ladies, Fiona Thrail and Sarah Golden down in England, we approached them to see if they would take over. So they've just released their second episode yesterday. So they're doing a fantastic job, and we're really excited to see where they take the show now.
Do you miss it at
fantastic.
All yet?
Not yet, no. I mean, it was pretty poignant hanging up the headphones after, I think it was like 102 episodes or something like that. So, we went for the first year of the podcast, we did it every single week. And it was just something I was very fixated on, was we've got to get the podcast out. And it was quite stressful at times. I mean, you guys will know this more than anyone, you're doing a podcast as well. There's just so many challenges to getting your episodes recorded and getting them out there. And we experimented with fortnightly schedules, and then things happened, and we went periods where we maybe went a month. We had some really top end episodes. It was episode 98 to episode 101. And what we decided to make a bit of an occasion for it. So the first of these episodes, we invited everyone in the audio drama production community to send in clips about how to make your listener laugh, how to write comedy. So this episode was just a montage, all these great people giving you their tips about writing comedy, about making the listener laugh. The next episode was how to scare your listener, how to write horror. So again, same theme. And then episode 100 and 101, we asked them, if you could, knowing what you know now, if you could go back and speak to yourself before you made any audio drama, before you sat down and wrote your first script, what would you tell yourself? So we got some phenomenal feedback on that as well. So these episodes, it was a great way for us to bow out, because it was just such great content. And even though we were the curators, you're listening to it and you're just learning so much from it. So yeah, we're definitely proud of what the podcast achieved over the last couple of years.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. I think it's a really nice way, like you say, to bow out and actually have that recap of everyone chipping in and getting together. Because what we're finding at the minute with the other stories is we're getting a bit of a community behind us, which is quite nice. Because in terms of podcasts, we're very junior still. I mean, we only started last April, but we are beginning to get a fair following. But I think one of the biggest things that I guess some people do underestimate is how valuable the community can be to the podcast. So, I mean, how big was your community, and were there any points where people reached out to you and it kind of helped drive you on?
Yeah, well, the community now, it's Audio Drama Production Podcast on Facebook. I think we're about 50 odd people away from 1,000 now. So I remember when we set up the Facebook group and got like our first member, and I was like, wow, I wonder if they listen to the podcast. And when you start doing a show as well, and like when you get a couple of emails in, you're amazed. You're like, people are actually listening to this stuff. Because even podcasts that get pretty big downloads, it's actually quite rare to get like feedback from your listener. And I think that puts a lot of people off when they start podcasting, whether it's a spoken word podcast, a non-fiction podcast, or an audio drama. A lot of people, I think, expect to hear from their listeners straight away. It can take maybe a year before you hear from someone, even if your downloads are pretty decent, even if you're getting 200 or 300 downloads an episode, which is, again, decent numbers. You know, a lot of people go into podcasting and they hear about some of the top podcasters talking about tens of thousands of downloads. That's not the reality. I think it's if you get more than 150 downloads within 30 days of release of an episode, that's you in the top 50% of podcasts. I'll verify that stat later on. But, you know, podcast downloads, a lot of people, they think they're going to get tens of thousands of downloads, and they think they're going to get loads and loads of emails from listeners. And it's actually the case of you've just got to work quite hard and keep, you know, putting stuff out there. Eventually, yeah, you'll start to hear from listeners, but don't get discouraged in the early days when you feel like you're talking into a void, essentially.
Yeah. Dan, what was when we spoke to Katie at Acast, what did she call the other stories? A mid list.
I think it was a mid list podcast.
So I've been involved in about, so I used to edit podcasts as well for a company. So I used to see the stats of lots of different podcasts, and I was amazed by how few downloads a lot of podcasts get. But like podcasts that have like big guests on sometimes, you know, aren't getting as many downloads as people suspect. And I think we were amazed like at how hungry an audience there are for like audio dramas and fiction podcasts. I think you may have accidentally tapped into something with the other stories and the horror podcasting community. But I mean, in terms of like creating the audience, is creating a Facebook group the best way to go, do you think? Or what? How can you tap into that audience there and make them more of a community?
Yeah, sorry, I did totally digress from your last question there, and that was initially what I was supposed to be talking about. I think it's really important to have a community for your podcast. Whether that's on Facebook or not, there's pros and cons, basically. One of the big pros of doing it on Facebook is that everyone is already on Facebook, or at least, you know, 95% of people are. They're already used to checking Facebook on a daily basis. So if you could be there, you're not asking someone to do something extra. You're not asking them to download another app or check another website or install something. So it's very, very easy to... I'd say it's one of the easiest things to do is to build a Facebook community. And one we're seeing as well now is Slack communities as well, which are very popular. Personally, I'm not a fan of Slack just because it's more like a chat room and stuff just moves too fast for me. It's not very well organized, but that's a personal taste.
That's very interesting you say that, actually. We use Slack quite a lot just between everyone in Hawke and Cleaver, but I've never actually thought of using it for a wider community.
Yeah. I mean, there's a really good audio drama Slack, which I try my very best to check in on now and then. But like I say, it's not the platform for me. It just moves too fast for me. I'm very used to Facebook, and I just like, you know, communities in there. But certainly it was obviously free for us to set up. It was very easy to do. On the other side, you've got building a community, maybe installing software on your website, getting like a forum or a bulletin board. Again, people have had success with this, but I'd say it's more difficult. But obviously, if you pull that off, you've got a lot more control over it. And although it doesn't look like Facebook's going anywhere soon, if Zuckerberg pulled the plug tomorrow and, you know, everything that you've built is based around this Facebook community, you've got no one's emails or anything like that, then you're kind of screwed. So there's no right or wrong answer, but yeah, wherever you do it, having a community is important because you're giving your listeners access to you, and you've got the opportunity to meet them, to get to know them, to make friends with them. And at the same time, your listeners meet each other. And a lot of people end up, because they're doing the same things, they collaborate with each other. A lot of people in our community have met each other and ended up working together. And it just sort of, it builds bonds around your podcast, around their podcast. It just creates an overall sense of community. So it's, you know, I would recommend anyone who has a podcast to try and build a community around it, certainly.
Yeah. So moving into sort of the production of audio fiction and podcasts, and what would you say are the main avenues you can go when it comes to actually creating an audio drama, whether that's a serialized thing or a standalone thing? What would be your main avenues that you can see?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
In terms of the way it's created?
Yeah, in terms of the different categories of audio drama that are available.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got what you're seeing a lot of now, because there's a, you've touched on this, and I won't digress, I promise, but there's such a demand for audio fiction. So a lot of creators are coming in now. They're very good writers, experienced writers. They don't have a lot of audio production experience. So they're doing very, I say low production, I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but it's a single voice, or maybe they're mixing in a couple of voices. There's
very basic.
Maybe not even any sound effects, maybe a bit of music now and then. And you can work your way up to stuff like We're Alive, stuff like Edict Zero, the two shows I always mention. But, you know, there's not a footstep, there's not a chair creak that doesn't go unannounced in the soundscape of those productions. Very, very highly produced. Obviously, that takes a long time to learn how to do it well. And it takes, even when you, if anything, the better you get at it, the longer it takes, because you become more of a perfectionist. So it's a very, very time consuming thing to do. So, and then also we've got shows now, which I tend to call docudramas, like The Black Tapes, Tannis, Limetown, The Message. So shows that are done as real documentaries. And the writing of these shows, you know, is very skilled, but the production, as good as it is, isn't as much effort as a fully fledged audio drama, if you like. It's more documentary, so a lot of fake interviews, Skype calls, things like that. So that's been a popular route for people to go down as well. I would say that's your sort of three main types of audio fiction podcast at the moment.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, Dan, what would you say we fit into there with the other stories? I mean, because that's like an audiobook, but with a bit of Foley and a bit of sound effects and voices thrown in.
Yeah, I think what I've listened to, and I don't want this to come across big heads because it's really not meant to, but I think what we're doing isn't currently being done by we kind of fit in the middle of, say, productions like We Are Alive that do, like you say, record every sound effect, put in all that effort, they have different voices, and things like I'm trying to think of another example, but stories where it is just one voice flat, we've got quite for the budget that we have and the people that we're working with and the time we have to work it with, we've got a nice balance of having the music and having the sound effects that we need, but it's all solely on one narrator. So, I mean, one of the things I'd love to look at in the future is adding more narrators to bring certain elements of the stories alive, because it's very rare that we have one person talking for an entire thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we kind of rest in a weird spot in the middle of that.
And that's just because of that's like... That's just, we're just using what we have available. Like
that's just where we fell. Yeah. Do you remember the first few months when it was a case of we just literally added music, and then we were lucky enough that one of my friends is actually a bit of an audio whiz and very, very kindly offered to get involved and start editing our episodes, and that made a huge difference, didn't it, Luke?
Yeah. The first few episodes were literally just us or our actor friends talking into microphones with a bit of added, like, atmospheric sounds. But like, so I think if people out there listening, they do want to sort of get involved, if they want to take that approach, that kind of worked for us. I mean, we're very iterative. Each episode sort of got a little bit better and then went from there. And I'd like to do a bit more of the audio drama thing in terms of We're Alive. But yeah, that.
Yeah, we are looking at increasing and putting in a fourth one of our podcasts, aren't we? Which is going to be a bit more of a serialized story. So, I mean, do you have any advice on what it takes to create a good serial drama? Because I think we're looking at potentially a 7-episode per season structure. But, I mean, what's currently working? What's out there that could be quite good for that?
To be honest, I wouldn't go into it thinking what's working. I would go into it thinking, what story do I want to tell? And we've talked about the different ways you could do it. There's no right way or wrong way at all. There's ways that probably haven't even been done yet, waiting to be done by someone. So it's just about like thinking about the story you want to tell, and you've got to weigh up whether it's something that you want to be released in the near future, Or is it something that you're prepared to spend 18 months on before it sees the light of day? Personally, I'm quite an impatient person. So, you know, when I finish an episode, I just want it out there. That's just me personally. A lot of others are very, very patient. And, you know, there's a couple of producers in our community working away. They've been working on a project for maybe a year or more. And they've probably got 20 episodes in the can and they've not even released one yet because they want it all done. A lot of people will tell you to write all your episodes before you record a single thing. Again, that's probably the right thing to do, if you like. From, you know, less can go wrong if you do that. But again, I'm impatient. I want to write something, record it, put it out there. I know that there's a risk that I write myself into a corner by accident, or maybe an actor pulls out mid-season and we've not recorded the whole series yet. So,
oh, no.
It's, you know, you've got to weigh up the risks. You've got to decide, do I want the immediate gains or am I prepared to play the long game? And ultimately, what way is going to serve the story I want to tell in terms of my production style and the way it's delivered?
Whereabouts did you find your actors, if you don't mind me asking?
Find our actors?
Yeah.
Well, back in the day, when Facebook maybe wasn't as big a tool as it is now, we used websites like the Voice Actors Alliance and a bulletin board called Audio Drama Talk, which I think this week just went offline, which was quite sad. The old sort of like late 90s style bulletin boards that are slowly dying out. But nowadays, you've got a Facebook group called Audio Drama Editions, which is very good for finding people. And, you know, in our community as well, there's a lot of the voice actors are in there. So there's a lot of very good voice actors who are, you know, they just want to voice act. It's just a passion that they've got. They're very good at it. And, you know, a lot of people out there with decent mics.
Yeah.
I'm literally just adding myself into the audio drama auditions group now.
I am one of my so we've got about like 10. Oh, maybe not that many narrators, maybe like 7 narrators.
Yeah.
And I really want to pay them. Like they spend so much time every month sort of recording these like amazing takes.
Do you find yourself justifying when you're talking to them, like we don't get paid either? It's,
yeah, I don't know, but I mean I feel like we're building like a brand or something that, you know, we might be able to make money in other ways.
Yeah.
I feel like the narrators are like freelancers who are unpaid. And like none of them have complained. But in terms of monetization of podcasts, what sort of avenues are there, Matthew, that you can think of there? And is there anything that, I mean, I know people don't make money from podcasts generally. It's not really something that is a money-making scheme. But is there anything out there for podcasters that we should be looking at?
Generally, Patreon. Patreon's very popular in the, well, I think in podcasting in general, but in the audio drama community, a lot of people are doing great things with Patreon, with their rewards. And I take it, are you guys both familiar with Patreon?
We are on there.
We are on it. Yeah. We haven't done too much there, but we want to do more.
We're working on building.
Essentially, you know, for anyone who doesn't know, it's an ongoing Kickstarter where someone could pledge, I think it's as little as like $1 a month. So it's a good chance to get some income that way. And like I say, you can put rewards up there and stuff like that. So people are using that to good effect and having good results. But it's, for what you're saying earlier, it's still muddy waters in a sense. If you start to make a lot of money and you've got people essentially working for you for nothing, you know, you could end up with an actors' union chasing you down. It could happen. So I think in the early days, it's important to get an agreement in place with your cast, determining where you want to take it. And if people are working for you for free, you've got to really offer them some sort of creative input, and you've got to try and look after them as best you can. So, you know, don't treat them like you've enslaved them in some sort of poorhouse. Give them a bit of say in where the script's going and where their character's going, and just try and make it more of a community project And you know, if you're lucky enough, if you're talented enough to make money further down the line, you have to remember that you can't just keep it, because it's not you that's doing all the work, even though you might be doing the bulk of it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I'm very conscious of, is I always try and make an effort whenever I'm speaking to the narrators, because it's generally just me and you that speak to them, isn't it, Luke?
It's more you now than me. I don't really get involved much anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I tend to always make a point of, if we succeed in any way, if we've got anything to celebrate, I make sure that they know that it's happened and it's because of them, and try and make it a point to include them, because at the end of the day, we say repeatedly on this show, and I don't know if any of them listen to the show, but we very much understand that we wouldn't kind of be where we are without them. Yeah. But I also had a follow-up question, and it's gone now. So if you've got one, Luke, go.
I don't know.
Oh, no, really. That was it. So, go on. Oh, no. So going back to Patreon, because like you say, that's one of the sort of key things that people are doing. And to be honest, whenever me and Luke have been researching other podcasts, we've always looked at what they're doing with their Patreon and how well they're working on it. And we've been kind of a bit slow with getting patrons on there. We have a few, but our main reward tiers at the minute, I think the base one, we've just introduced that they get a free extra episode that's exclusive to Patreon of the other stories, which we kind of think could be quite a big pull, a bit of an attractor for people listening to the show if, you know, they're sort of diehard fans. But do you think that something like that sounds like a good idea? Do you think there's anything that people are doing that is bringing listeners to the Patreon? Or do you think it's pretty much just a minefield and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't?
You know what? I think it's deep down, people pledge to you on Patreon. Most people pledge to you on Patreon because they like what you do. And I don't know that rewards are a huge factor. So they will be for some people. But yeah. I think it's all about giving your audience what they like, and they like it enough that they don't mind buying you a cup of coffee once a month or buying you a pint of beer. And I've always found that that's quite a good way to sort of market it, if you want to mention it on your episodes. It's just, you know, very quick, non-intrusive, and just say to them, look, if you enjoy what we do, it takes us a lot of time, we love doing it, if you wouldn't mind getting us a cup of coffee once a month or getting us a pint of beer once a month, here's the Patreon link, and just leave it up there. Make sure people can find it on your website. Just have a page on your website that's, you know, yourpodcast.com/support with a link to your Patreon, and just explain that a wee bit. Just leave it there. The rewards, they might coax some people into pledging, but I think it just comes down to creating stuff that people like.
Yeah. It's funny. There's a writer called, I think it's Rachel Herron or Rachel Aaron, I'm not too sure, but they've got a Patreon for their creative pursuits, but as one of their main draws is they do like a monthly creative newsletter sort of deal, like an essay. And she gets a lot. She gets about $1,000 a month. And she was walking down the street where she lived, and she noticed one of her patrons in the street. She started talking to her. And then she said, oh, did you get your newsletter this month? And she's like, you do newsletters? She had no idea what the Patreon was actually for. She just wanted the opportunity to support her.
And which is lovely and annoying in equal measure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Go on, sorry, Matthew.
No, it was just a very quick point. I've often thought to myself, you know, I could spend quite a lot of time working on Patreon rewards and really putting work into the Patreon account, but that has taken time away from writing. That's taken time away from production, and you've only got so much time. So, again, looking at the long game, do you want to be getting regular episodes out and building a big, big audience that love your stuff? Or are you going to get bogged down in Patreon stuff and maybe make a wee bit more money, but ultimately not get that much done for your wider audience?
Yeah.
How important do you think websites are as an additional add-on to the podcast itself? Because I think some of the bigger podcasts that we've seen have some fantastic websites that store all the information, but then there are some that get thousands and thousands of listens that don't have any website at all. Do you think that's a necessary thing that people need?
I do think websites are increasingly important. I'm not talking about something that you need to spend loads of money on and have a really fancy design. I'm just talking about somewhere that I could easily find the information that I want. So, as you know, I'm not a web designer, but I could set up a WordPress website that would work on a mobile phone and have all the info you need. So, like I've said before, you want a support page up there if you've got a Patreon. You want a page on there that says subscribe, and you want to have links to everywhere that you could be found within reason. You know, the places like iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, if you're out in America, we can't get on there yet over here. Stitcher, when it comes about, Spotify. You just want a link to all these places. You want to have a contact page, because you definitely want people to get in touch with you. So on your contact page, a form or an email address or both, put your Twitter there, your Facebook, your Instagram. You want to have an episodes list, because if you end up with lots of episodes, I think if you end up with over 100, it might start not showing them all in iTunes. So you want people to be able to go to your website and download your episodes if they want to, and have your RSS feed on there as well. Even basic information about your show, because you know what it's like nowadays, a lot of blogs that are taking interest in podcasts and our websites, they'll maybe do like a roundup of their favourite podcasts, and they'll maybe want to go on there and grab like a blurb off your website.
Yeah.
And also for people that get linked to your website, you know, if someone promotes your show somewhere, someone wants to be able to go on there and just read a paragraph and decide, is this something I want to give a chance to? So again, it's a good idea on that homepage to maybe have like a 2-minute audio trailer as well. So there's a, you know, if you have a website, you've got control over all this. Whereas if you don't, people are maybe going to be sending folk to iTunes or Libsyn or wherever, but it's not your site and you've no control over it. So I think it's not essential, but it's very, very important in my opinion.
Yeah. I always like those podcasts that have a start here feature where it says it's like has five or six episodes that they recommend people to get a taste of what they do.
Mm.
So Dan, we've been cracking on for about 45 minutes now. We should probably start to wrap up. Have you got any more questions on your list?
Just one more, I think, which if for people that are looking to get themselves into audio fiction dramas, what would you say are your top three pieces of advice for them?
Ooh, top three pieces of advice. first piece of advice is don't procrastinate trying to wait for your knowledge to be up to scratch and for conditions to be right. You'll probably never feel like you have enough time. You'll never feel like you know quite enough. So first things first, dive in. You can get a microphone that I always tell people that are sort of at the start of their podcasting journey, even if it's for audio drama, a microphone called the Samsung Q2U, which you could use as a USB mic straight into your computer, or later on if you upgrade to like a mixer or preamp, you could plug it in via an XLR cable as well, and you get this great little kit. It's got headphones and a mic stand, and it's only like, I think it's about £60 or $60. So a great little mic. And $60, I think, which is funny for that to happen. But
yeah.
Get that. And another thing is we made this mistake back in the day. Don't dive into a 12-episode series. What you've got to do is write a self-contained story, maybe 15 pages. Generally, a page of script works out as a minute of audio, generally, and write a short story. Very few actors, maybe two or three people, record it and just, you know, get to work putting it together. Get Audacity. It's free. It's, you know, there's flaws of Audacity. It's not the most intuitive audio editing software, but you could upgrade further down the line. So maybe that's more than three bits of advice, but ultimately, it boils down to just throw yourself into it and start small, but always stay outside your comfort zone and keep pushing yourself forward. Keep soaking up as much advice from everyone as you can, and just try not to get overwhelmed with it all. because no one really knows what they're doing. We're all winging it, aren't we?
Yeah, I've seen an increase in people who you can definitely tell that they've not done it before. And I mean, when I started this show with you, Luke, I'd never done anything like this before at all.
Yeah.
But obviously you'd had your longer running Luke's Massive Storytelling podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
But it only takes a couple of episodes really to warm yourself into it and to get used to it and just get into the flow.
Yeah, I remember, I still do sometimes, but I remember the first like interview. So I did a show called The Storytellers Podcast 3 or 4 years ago. And I remember getting super nervous before every episode. Like, you sort of hoping that the interviewee was going to cancel before the show because you were so nervous. And you like your hands are shaking and stuff. But you get into it. And I think nowadays I just enjoy talking to people about cool topics like this. Cool. So we should start to wrap up before we've got like the quick fire round first. Matthew,
yes.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I suppose I am, yeah.
Okay, cool. Dan, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
After you.
Okay. Question one, zombies or vampires?
Zombies.
Spaghetti or lasagna?
Spaghetti.
Spirit animal?
A rabbit.
Interesting.
What was the last podcast you listened to?
Oh, good question.
It's the pressure.
Christ, I don't know. Campfire Radio Theater.
The last book you read?
The last full book I read was Wayward Pines.
The last human you petted?
Probably my wife.
We've asked that question 3 times in a row and everyone said the wife. I'm going to be surprised if anyone says something else.
Get in through trouble if you don't say that.
That's through fear of saying Stacey at the office.
Yeah. I think I know the answer to this one. Podcast or radio?
That's a hard one. Podcast.
I'm going to change this one. What is your favourite podcast?
I've mentioned it a few times. Edict Zero FIS.
Cool. And what is your rabbit's name?
Willy. And there's I won't go into Willy's story because.
But that's just the one rabbit you've got.
No, I've got two. I've got two as well. Lucy, really?
Yeah, yeah. You're sat next to me now.
We'll need to start a rabbit podcast.
Oh, that'd be fun. Would we talk about rabbits, or we just let the rabbits run the show?
I reckon they would make pretty good presenters. Very vocal creatures.
One of mine squeaks quite a lot. The other one doesn't. It just gets humped in the face.
The life of a rabbit.
Food and face humping. And on that note.
So, Matt, where can people follow you in your work?
The two websites. I work at thepodcasthost.com. We're a podcasting resource online. We do loads of equipment reviews and fiction podcast of the week, which there was some show that at time of recording today were fiction podcast of the week.
You
guys aware of them?
I think it was The Other Stories.
Yeah, those guys, yeah.
Yeah, those idiots.
So, yeah, we've got the podcasthost.com and also the audio drama production podcast is at audiodramaproduction.com.
I was listening to a couple of episodes of that and it's really good. I listened to the Casey Wayland episode and I was just thought it was excellent for people wanting to do this kind of thing. So I'd totally recommend that.
Yeah, there's that one, and also Dirk Maggs as well. It was an interview that, you know, it was a couple of years ago now, but it was just so good. He's just a total fountain of knowledge.
Did he do the Judge Dredd audio stuff like years ago?
Yeah, I think he did like Batman. And,
Spider-Man stuff.
He's just done. He's so cool and so down to earth. You know, he's the first guy that will tell you. You do not need big fancy equipment. Like, even if you have to just grab your phone and go and record something out in the woods, sounds a bit dodgy, but you know, in audio format.
Yeah, and it's got a really cool name, Dirk Maggs.
I know, cracking name, solid name. And speaking of Casey as well, Casey Wayland, the audio drama Bronzeville debuted today. That's his audio drama with Lawrence Fishburne. And it's about the numbers game in Chicago. And I've actually got that queued up ready to listen to probably tonight because that's going to be exceptional.
That's amazing that you're getting that sort of caliber of acting talent to do this kind of work now.
Yeah, that's going to be very, very big for podcasting and for audio drama, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Dan, do you mind if I do the outro, or did you want dibs on it?
After you, sir.
So thanks to Disasterpiece for the intro and outro music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. The listeners for listening. Go to our Patreon. You know, buy us a cup of coffee, maybe. I don't know. And thanks to Dan.
Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? I don't know. Thanks to Dan, my co-host, being here. And thanks to you again to you, Matthew McLean. Oh, Matt, are you on Twitter?
I am, yes. Mainly through my audio drama, Scottish Podcast. It's all one Scottish word. Podcast,
yeah. Right.
It's a very rude podcast.
Can you give us a quick synopsis?
Yes, it's an audio drama about a former radio DJ who reinvents himself as a paranormal investigation podcaster.
Nice.
Amazing.
Sounds like almost Douglas Adams-y or something. Cool. So, Matt, last question. Where do you live?
Fife, just north of Edinburgh.
I was only joking. I meant address, but that's fine.
All right, yeah. No, you can come here anytime. I've got two rabbits and a wife, so
I'll bring mine.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Story Studio podcast. Still hungering for some podcast goodness? Then why not check out our other show, The Other Stories? Oh, and did you know, every time you leave us a review in the iTunes store, a puppy is born. Cute, eh? Anyway, toodle pip.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.